Yeah, we're all state agencies, and our governing IT organization, also known as the mob, and
okay, well, I just let Steve Hennessy in. So, he must not be using a work computer to call in because he is visible. Must be at home.
That
really
isn't he.
That's that heck with Vita. Hey, Steven. I'm at home in my favorite place in the house because you can look out and see. It's like you're in a tree house. I like it. Nice. It's nice when the leaves are on.
You don't need the beat in that room.
I'm at work.
I can't. My computer's too old for a fancy background anyway, so I have to go find. I have to go find one. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen. Hi, Steven.
How are you all? Hi, Aiden.
Man.
Aiden, you're all dressed up. Nowhere to go.
Yep.
Well, it did feel funny putting on a regular shirt today rather than wandering around in a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
I decided not to wear a basketball jersey to the meeting today. I hope that's okay.
Hello. Hey, I did. I called. Called
Chicago, yeah.
Maybe we'll meet Steve since Steve. I know. I told Devin I've been embracing the work from home mullet where you can wear like leggings or sweatpants, but a decent shirt. Okay, here comes Jennifer and Kira. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer. Hi, Kira.
I told somebody the other day I don't have to worry about bedhead, but I am getting mask beard.
Yeah. Devin, do you know of others we are waiting on?
Let's see.
Oh, Steve Rosenberg is joining right now.
Okay.
Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Steve.
Well, everyone.
Luke said he was going to be late. Cynthia said she's not able to come. So we're still waiting on Greg, Becky, and Paul. We'll give them another few minutes.
Yeah, we give them a couple of minutes. It may be some people's first time using Zoom also. Who knows?
We've been using it on Friday afternoons for virtual happy hours in the division.
Oh, nice.
Very cool.
Nice.
Karen, it looks like you have a nice view of the hospital from your window.
Yes, but it's a bad glare for a background. Of course, I could put the windows up. You wouldn't have to see me, and then you could see the view better. Maybe that's a better alternative.
This goes on. You know, any length of time, everybody had to start making little mini studios in our office, you know, with lighting and, you know, all of these.
Yeah. I just get a fake background.
Carrie, is that Myrtle Beach?
I don't know. We were trying to decide. Do you think it is?
I thought it was Myrtle Beach, too.
Yeah, that was my first guess.
Yeah, that was my guess, but I don't know. I just picked a beach background.
Looks like you're in a hot air balloon.
Maybe I am.
Well, the reception's good up there, that's for sure.
Yeah. Just don't drop my laptop.
Okay.
guess we give them a couple more minutes, maybe one or two, and then we can move forward. What do you
I don't see anybody else waiting to get on right now.
Okay, Terry, you want to just go ahead and get started, and when they join in, they join in.
Yeah, let me go ahead and call this meeting to order. As we have no public comment today, we'll move on to the minutes. Did everybody get a chance to read the minutes? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll move to approve. This is Jennifer.
Okay. Do we have a second? Who's seconded?
Second. This is Russ.
Okay. Thank you. Then we'll move on to, everybody in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. As we have no opposal, we'll approve to approve the minutes, and we'll move on to our business. First, we're going to hear about Bright's COVID-19 response from Aiden.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. We have a couple points to cover under our COVID-19 response. It seems like just a couple months ago, we were, I don't know if we were joking about it in person, but I don't think we anticipated that we'd be having our May BTAC meeting virtually. So we have been doing a lot of hard work over here. I first want to go over the impact that the pandemic has had to our ridership. So I thought the best way to really illustrate our ridership decrease is to compare our numbers from April of 2020 to our numbers of April in 2019. We're seeing about 60% decrease in ridership across the board. We've been maintaining the same level of service with some of the state guidelines. You know, we're not taking, we're not gonna be expanding service, and we're not taking away any service either. We're still running a schedule. The numbers are low though. We're about 40% decrease in paratransit trips from last year, and 60% across the board. And I'll be happy to take any questions about that, and we can start talking about some of the state guidelines that we are working with, and what we've been doing in regards to social distancing and working with the state.
Do you think that decrease is secondary to everything being closed? Or, because I mean, I know you all are still coming here and bringing some patients.
Yeah, I think we've been encouraging people to only ride our buses for essential services only. And I know that the state and federal governments have been encouraging people to stay at home and practice social distancing practices. I know I've been hearing some talk from the state and from the federal bodies that other agencies have seen decreases as high as about 80% from normal numbers. So we're actually, you know, I mean, all things considered, we're still taking people where they need to go. People are still riding our buses, but I think, you know, people are just staying at home. They're not willing to make the risk.
Harrisonburg has actually had about a 90%, but that's primarily because that JMU is shut down. Around the state, we're seeing similar to what Bright Bus is experiencing.
So I'll go ahead and talk about some of the state guidelines and how we've been working with those. You know, we're mandating people stay 6 feet apart on our vehicles. DRPT came out with guidelines saying that we had to keep about 20% capacity on the buses. So we've been marking off the seats in a way that keeps people at a good social distance. You know, we're still doing our use of PPE and cleaning equipment. We're vigorously cleaning the buses every evening, trying to, you know, keep them as disinfected as possible, you know, continuing on with the vigorous cleaning process. I really want to thank Steve Hennessy for, you know, passing on all these guidelines to us and helping us with all the steps, you know, to implement these things and make sure that we're in a regulation with the state. You know, he's been very helpful from you know, just being available on the phone. So thanks again, Steve, for all you've been doing. And we have a couple more things to cover under this under the pandemic response. I'll let Devin talk about communications real quick, and then I'll give some financial updates regarding COVID-19.
Yes. So from everything that you all know, there's a lot of information to get out to people. So we've been just working to get it all communications out on various outlets. So we've primarily been pushing out information on the website, social media, and on posters on the buses, which is what we usually do for most information.
All right.
And
can you go sit on the potty? Can you go sit?
And you might want to.
Sorry, I video muted myself. Is it wrong?
It's all good. Some of you may know that the United States Supreme Court has transitioned to telephonic oral arguments, and on the first occasion of those arguments, there was reported to be a toilet flush in the background.
Yes.
And there's a lot of rumors circulating about which justice may have been involved.
Roberts.
For interrupting.
I'm not taking you to the bathroom with any six-year-olds, don't worry.
But yeah. So most of those communications that we are pushing out is primarily to let people know, like Aiden said, that we're available for service, but just mainly for those essential trips and any operational changes. And so we've been participating in a lot of webinars about crisis communication, so we'll continue to get as much information and know how to push out that information in the best way possible. I know one of the next things that we'll start thinking about is recovery communications and getting people to feel more comfortable getting back on the bus once things start to shift to that new normal. So as always, we welcome any suggestions or comments on how we can improve those communications if you think of anything else. And we thank those that have been sharing out the information that we've been sending out to you all.
All right, any questions or comments for Devin at this point? As I hear none, we'll move back to Aiden for the financial updates.
Yeah, so before we get on to the next step of the agenda, I do want to cover and let me pull this up here. I'm switching between two screens, so just bear with me. I'm going to cover a little bit of the, I'm going to give you all a summary of the money we've been getting from different places for COVID-19 response. So we've received three emergency allocations during the outbreak, and the total money we have been awarded is about $3 million. They don't expire, and they're going to be used for all COVID-19 related expenses. We're going to be using them for operating expenses, hazard pay, PPE, and we're also eliminating funder partner local match for FY21. So once July rolls around, we'll be using almost all federal money to operate the system. So we're still, you know, going to be doing the social distancing and all that stuff. So we're real grateful and happy for the CARES Act funding that we got. And we also got about $44,000 from the CTB Emergency Fund. And we used about $35,000 of that to fund front-end transit operations staff, give them some extra hazard pay. So right now we have enough of that CTB emergency funding to fund the hazard pay program through the end of May, and we'll be taking a look at that shortly and see how long we need to extend that you know, and see how long this pandemic goes. So I'll be happy to answer any questions on that.
All right. Are there any questions on that?
Part of the CARES Act is also going to be coming to the 5311 part of Brightbus. We are still working through FTA to get that money allocated. They came back to us wanting some more information, which we provided a week ago, and Marie Berry is still waiting to hear back from them as to approval of the 5311 funding.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Any other questions or comments? If I hear none, then we'll move on to fiscal year 2021 DRPT grant status update by Aiden.
Okay, thanks, Terry. So last meeting, we discussed our grants that we applied for to DRPT, and we were approved for many of them. So we were approved for our 5307 and 5311 operating and capital cost of contracting formula funding grants. Our competitive grants, we also received the go-ahead to get our waste oil heaters fixed in the transit facility and to begin to implement ITS phase one. We also got funding for the Afton Express, which Devin will talk a little more about. We did not receive funding for the solar panel project, but everything else was funded. So really good news, and we're thanks again to DRPT for working with us and to reviewing all our applications.
Great. Any questions or comments on that? All right, we'll move on to round four smart scale application update by Aiden.
Okay, so I believe last meeting we also discussed the three Bright applications, or the three sites that Bright is submitting pre-applications for round four of smart scale. We have two on the 250 corridor, which is the 250 at Sanger's Lane and 250 at Lou DeWitt. We also have another one on Route 11 by Dick Huff Lane in Verona. These are for pedestrian improvements and enhanced amenities at the bus stop. So we are just touching back base with the BTAC, letting you all know that we did in fact complete our pre-apps. Thanks to VDOT for you know, working with us and getting all the sketches in and all that kind of stuff. So we hope to hear back soon, and we will report back to the BTAC if these pre-apps get approved and we go to the next phase, which would be the full application process.
Okay. Any questions or comments on that? All right, we'll move on to an Afton Express update by Devin.
Yes, so as you all know, Nancy is leading this charge, so she handed off her notes to me to report back on. So as discussed in the March meeting, the application was made for 2 years of funding through the demonstration grant to DRPT for Afton Express, and DRP did make their recommendation for funding. So in May, there was supposed to be a presentation to the Commonwealth Transportation Board for the final funding to be formalized through a vote in June. But due to COVID, that actually has been postponed. And I don't know if Stephen can talk to the preliminary timeline on that presentation to the CTB and the vote or not, because I know everything's kind of in limbo. So yeah, besides all of that uncertainty with the vote and everything, because we really can't move forward until that money has been voted on by the CTB, but Nancy continues to do some preliminary groundwork to keep the project moving. So she continues to work with BRT to refine some of those timings and stop locations, as well as developing that logistical plan for when the Waynesboro Park and Ride lot goes under construction. The branding has moved forward a little bit more. The stakeholders met last week to get a presentation on the three final logos, and she's awaiting the final vote to come together, and she's waiting on Hive to package all that up. So hopefully next time we see you, there's a beautiful logo that we can reveal. And she's also developing the specs for the buses. So as soon as that money is available, they can go ahead and purchase those buses and order them. The webpage has been waiting on that logo to be finalized. So once it's been finalized, some work can move forward on that. And the last little bit is developing an addendum to the Bright contract that we have with BRT to add that addendum of the service. So that is the update on the Afton Express.
All right, thank you. Any questions, comments? Okay, we'll move on to Title VI plan update by Aiden.
Yeah, so we're required to have a Title VI plan in place as a transit agency. And it's Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And it's basically saying that that nobody will be discriminated based on a handicap, sex, age, income status, things like that. So we need to update our plan, and that's basically just we need to show where low English speaking populations are, or people that have a low income, or people of minority background, and we need to show that we're serving those areas and that we have plans in place to do outreach and to make sure our buses aren't providing unequitable service under any of those umbrellas. So we have it updated, and we are going to be releasing it for public comment. And once we are finished with the public comment period and we receive any comments back, we will incorporate those into the Title VI plan, and we will have it adopted by the CSPDC full commission.
Okay. Any questions or comments on that? Okay, we'll move on to a contractor update from Steve.
So we're moving along like everybody else. We were, you know, kind of blindsided. So we did all the webinars and, you know, went through all the processes trying to learn as much as we could. During that time, we've had outreach from, I had somebody from California call today that's kind of asking what we're doing, and so, you know, it's on everybody's menu. So we've been doing the 6 foot distancing when we buy and actually mark seats. If you're moving around the marketplace, I was at the hospital today, they've got seats that you can sit in and some you can't. So we kind of did the same thing. We delineated where folks could sit and where they can't. So we're doing that for the 6 foot distancing. There are times when we have to, you know, we can't take anybody else on the bus. We're trying to run back around with other resources and try to gather up folks as we can. So, you know, it's been pretty well receptive. When we first started that, we thought that, you know, we'd be inundated with maybe sticks or stones or less than that. But it's been, it's gone pretty smoothly. It hasn't had a lot of pushback. So we're happy about that. Devin got us some masks for our folks, and we're happy for that. We had some masks, but certainly any and all that we can get is certainly appreciated. Aiden's come by. We're doing our inspection tomorrow. I guess we do a facility inspection, so we're going around. Excited about the heat coming this winter. So, our money for our waste oil heaters was great. Our drivers are doing well. We only had about four or five that left as far as the family first, which would require you to have underlying concern, the doctors, know things of that nature. So the saving grace in that was we had a lot of school bus drivers that all of a sudden found that they had a skill and a lot of time on their hands. So it kind of went seamlessly with these folks reaching out to other areas. And so that's been a blessing in disguise. We've haven't really noticed any other than, you know, administrative stuff, getting folks off and on and adjusting hours and stuff, but that's going really well. The passengers, like I said, have been responsive, and, you know, we've gotten some compliments and stuff. We've gotten a few calls about why this works like this, but I think everybody is pretty accepting with, you know, the directive set down by the governor and, you know, CDC and other areas like that. I think, you know, they've done really well. We supplied a passenger name for Aiden, and they were looking for somebody for some comments from the public, and Dennis White stepped up. He called back again after we had talked to him and thanked us for the service. He was very appreciative of it, and we told Dennis we were very appreciative of him. So we do appreciate our long-term passengers, new passengers, everybody. It's what we do, and we appreciate them being a part of that and giving us their input. And the only other thing was the Saturday trolley. Have not done away with that, but for right now, we're going to maintain our winter schedule.
This is the downtown Stanton trolley, correct? Not the Saturday night?
Right. Yeah, it is a downtown. So for right now, we're just continuing on with the winter operations. Ridership's down, like Aiden said, we've got, you know, 40% across the board. Other areas are hit harder than that, but across the board, it's about 40% year to year. So, and that trolley itself is kind of overlaps with the other bus that runs in the area. So it may not be stop specific, but they cover a lot of the same area. So I don't think we'll get a lot of pushback on that, but we'll see, and certainly advise anybody if we get, you know, input saying that, you know, this is needed or we miss it or whatever it is, we'd certainly share that with everybody. So,
Steve, I can just add just a little more detail to the VTAC. So we have delayed the implementation of the summer hours on the Stanton downtown trolley. We didn't feel like it was appropriate to expand it during a pandemic. So we have it delayed. As Steve was saying, we're only missing two stops that aren't covered by the other Stanton routes. And so we put up a notice on these stops letting people know that, hey, the summer hours aren't going to be in effect. These are some alternative stops you can walk to, you can go to. So we're making sure that we have good communications out while we delay this implementation. And we're looking forward to getting back to normal and getting these summer hours back and running up. So thanks to everybody that helped with that. And yeah, thanks, Steve.
Yeah, so that's pretty much where we are. We're rolling right along and things are progressing. It appears summer may be here. I don't know where spring went, but we're all excited about that. So yeah, we're doing well, so.
All right, thank you. Any questions or comments? All right, then we'll move on. Is there any other business that we need to address?
I just want to touch one thing real quickly. Last meeting, we approved for a new stop at Pinnacle Drive for the Stewart's Draft Link. We are going to postpone that timetable until we implement that stop and tweak the route a little bit to cover it due to the pandemic. So we're gonna we're monitoring the situation, and we'll provide an update in the next BTAC meeting, let you guys know what's happening with that. You know, we don't feel like it's appropriate to really add anything right now. So we're looking forward, you know, to make it all happen. So just wanted to add that in.
All right, thank you. Anything else? All right, our next meeting will be July the 8th. We don't know how that meeting will be conducted at this point, but Devin will certainly send out notification. And if there's no further comment, then I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 2:55. All right. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you all.
Everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Good to see you.
Good to see you all. Bye, Terry.
Bye.